And it's open line night. And I tell you what, we're going to open up a special hotline for you tonight. One of those story nights where you saw something and just couldn't believe it. Whatever it was. Whatever it was. That phone number is 818-817-0021. The I Just Couldn't Believe It hotline. 818-817-0021. I do not believe I have fingerprints on my fingers anymore. Let me tell you what happened tonight. I was having dinner at a restaurant here in the St. Louis area where I go quite a bit. And, you know, I'm looking at the weather. Nobody is sitting outside. I decide, you know what, it's not going to rain yet. So I'll sit outside. And the humidity was just horrible in St. Louis today. But it started getting cooler, and the wind was blowing, and it started feeling pretty good. And so I'm sitting outside, and I ordered my dinner, and she brings me this dinner, and the plate is absolutely steaming hot. Not the meal, but the plate itself. I mean, scorching hot. And maybe 30 seconds into it, where she put the plate down, all of a sudden, the biggest deluge of rain hit me than I've seen in a long time. And so, you know, you've only got a matter of seconds to react. So I pick up the plate, and I'm running inside to this restaurant, realizing that this plate is scorching hot. I mean, it is burning the fingertips on my fingers. And I could not stand it anymore. I finally got into the restaurant. Somebody opened up the door for me, and I had to put the entire plate down on the floor on the restaurant floor. And, you know, held some ice for a while. It was just unbelievable. But I don't think I have fingerprints anymore. Let's go to the phones. Let's pick it up by going to the I Can't Believe It hotline. We've got you, Ryan, in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Ryan?
Hey, Ryan, what's going on? Big fan. I'm a first-time caller. George, I'm sorry. I'm a little nervous.
You're Ryan. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Ryan. I'm a fan, so I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I'm just a little nervous. My first time calling in.
Welcome to the show. So what can't you believe? What happened?
Well, my wife went on vacation a couple weeks ago to Florida. As you know, we're in Pennsylvania, and she went with a couple of her friends. And while she was down there, she ended up getting abducted by aliens. And, you know, she's been acting all sorts of real weird now. She's having relations. I guess she was having relations when she got abducted. I don't know what they did to her.
And you believe her story?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well, I guess you have to. I mean, trust factor here, Ryan, is very important there. And thanks for getting us off on a good start. Christine in Michigan. Can you top that, Christine?
I'm right here.
There you go.
Okay, sweetie. You were talking the other night about a dream that you had about dying.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Anyway, I wanted to give you hope. My daughter was killed on Marco Island on the SS Jolly Bridge a few years ago. And as we're going to the funeral flying, I felt her throw her arms around me and say, Mom, I love you, and I'm okay, and I'm happy, which was great. And then we got this story. A lady that she worked with on Marco called in to John Edwards. And I don't watch TV, but I guess there was a show about people trying to contact people that had passed away.
Yeah, and he does that.
Right. So this lady was trying to contact her son and her husband, who had both passed away. Her son at 16. My daughter was 30. But anyway, John said, I cannot contact your son. But there is someone that wants to speak with you, and he's standing right beside your son. And Susie told John, I guess, that if anything happens and you find a dime and a penny together, that she sends her love and you're okay.
A little message there.
A huge message. I mean, the lady couldn't figure out who it was, and John told her that It was the most beautiful wedding she had ever been to, and a huge funeral. And she said, oh, my God, it is Suzanne. Anyway, I just want to give you hope, and she sends you love, good wishes. And anybody out there, pass a story along. If you find a dime and a penny together, it's good luck. Susie's throwing her love around you.
I love it. All right, thanks, Christine. Because, you know what, I went to a funeral. A friend had died a month or so ago when I was back in St. Louis, the first time here. And there becomes that moment that you begin to question, is there an afterlife? Does it exist? And the more you begin to think about it, and I believe that there is, but the more you begin to think that there may not be, it's a horrible, empty feeling. And the farther I can go from that, the better off I am, believe me. Frank in Washington, you're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Frank.
Hello.
Well, I like that. Boy, you're chipper tonight.
Oh, most definitely. I got a story that tops all of the other stories times a million.
I love it.
Okay, when I went to my grandpa's funeral, I found this little tiny toy dodo bird, right?
Okay.
And it was like your ordinary toy dodo bird. It had feathers, had a head, had a tail. And then I come home, I look out my window, and it's the same exact bird. Imprinted onto my window between the panes.
How did that happen?
I don't know. God must have put it there.
That's weird.
And so I took a picture of it, and I showed it to my friend Alex, and she was like, you know, when Jesus was baptized, the spirit of a bird appeared. And that was my baptism by fire.
How about that? I like that. I think it was a dove, but a dodo bird, which I think a dodo bird is extinct now. Yes, it is. That's kind of neat that that would pop up. Kelly in Georgia, you're up with us. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, George.
How are you?
I wanted to let people know there's something that occurred at the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, and I haven't heard much coverage of it, but if you Google CDC and duct tape, you'll see the story that from the reporter. But what happened was they broke a story that the Center for Disease, they had a leak that occurred, I guess, last year that I guess nobody knew about at the time.
Hmm.
And there was a reporter that got in there, and they still had duct tape up on the door, and it was a leak of a bioterror agent. And they still had the duct tape up a year later. And they asked the people at the CDC about it. And one of the people there actually told the reporter that, well, we could take it down, but it's an enhancement. So they're leaving, apparently, duct tape up as an enhancement.
An enhancement?
That's what the person told the reporter and described the duct tape as an enhancement. And I don't know if people know at the CDC, it's a federal agency, and they investigate other labs in the U.S., but they also...
Yeah, and diseases and everything else.
Yeah, and they're kind of a depot where they have every, you know, they've got the Ebola virus and the bubonic plague, and I guess they have, part of what they do also is they have microbiologists and whatnot, and they work on those things, maybe to try to help find cures or whatever. And so there's just everything known to man at this place. And, you know, Atlanta's got the busiest airport in the world. And if it's one of these things that leaks out that, you know, leaks out and kills people right away, then okay. But if it's something that leaks out and incubates in the lungs, for example, people go on airplanes all over the world from Atlanta, and there you go. And by the time
they tell you anything,
it's already out.
All right, we'll check into this. I mean, I haven't heard that. And you say it's on the website? It's out there if you Google it? Well, we'll see what we can find out. Rick in California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Rick.
Hey, George, what's happening?
Oh, life is good
okay.
so far.
Hey,
knock on wood if I find
Let's
it.
Let's see, how did the follow-up to that water for fuel thing go for your producer?
I think Tom will end his full tank on Sunday, So we should have results next week.
Okay.
Prior to, he was getting 18 miles to the gallon.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's up to or not.
Cool, because gas prices are just killing me, you know?
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see probably, I don't know, probably $7 a gallon. I don't, you know,
have you changed your lifestyle because of the price of gas?
I do. I am a lot more conscious about how I drive. You know, I do try to coast more and, you know, just be aware of, you know, when I'm just not being fuel efficient, you know?
I am not making as many what I would call superfluous trips. If I have to make a trip or go to a store or go to a drugstore or something, I'll do it, but I'll try to time it where I'm not going back and forth all the time. I try to hit them all at the same time now.
Yeah, I agree, George. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, you got to plan it out now. I mean, it's ludicrous, and we need $2.50 a gallon again. I'm not sure it'll ever go down that low ever again. East of the Rockies, Paul in West Virginia. Hi, Paul.
Hey, George. This is Paul. Hey, I'm a longtime listener since 1998, and I'm a Spring Link member.
One of the regulars. Thank you.
Yeah, I love the show. Love the show. I got a ghost story tonight. I wish I didn't, because it's the worst thing that happened to me in my life.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But it started with my next-door neighbor. I was at my next-door neighbor's house, and our families have lived next door to each other for 20-some years now. And in their house, you know, they always said they heard noises and things like that. And it was my friend, his brother, and his dad were living there. And things were kind of, you know, you'd hear noises and stuff, but then his dad got married, and his wife had a little girl, and they moved in, and then things started really getting bad. Even the little girl would say she would see people come into her room at night and things like that.
And would they change? Would their personalities all change?
Everyone was really stressed out.
That's, yeah, I could believe
what they
that.
Were getting. Okay. Anyway, one night we decided, me, my friend, and his brother, that we were going to have a seance, because my friend kind of studied on it, you know, and learned some things, and we decided to go into the room that was connected to the attic. There was a bedroom, there's an attic that goes up the stairs from the bedroom, because that's where the most activity was. And we started the seance, and I elected to be the medium that the spirits could speak through. And we started, and we weren't getting anything at first, and then all of a sudden I went into a daze. George, you know what it's like, the moment right before you fall asleep? You're somewhat conscious, but you're not quite there.
Yep, and then you're gone.
That's where I was at. And then I could hear myself talking, not having any control of whatever I said. And then once, you know, my friend, he did something to, you know, close it or whatever. And then I came back too, and then they said there was about 7 personalities coming through you all at the same time.
Jeez, how long were you in that state?
They said I was in that state for a half an hour.
Oh, my gosh, that's a long time.
Okay, so
seven personalities, halftime. Go ahead.
So we go back into my friend's bedroom, which is, you know, out the door, down the hall, a few steps, and into another room. And we sit in the room, and then I went into that state again. Okay, and what I was, now I asked them, I wasn't aware of what I was saying, but what they told me that I was saying, that I hated every one of them and that I was going to kill them. And then I'm not exactly sure on the procedures of a seance, but my friend, he lit a candle, okay? And I was getting more agitated and more agitated. And then my friend's brother, he started having headaches. And then he said he saw orbs come in from under the door and go into the candle one by one.
Jeez.
Then things were getting real bad. And the candle was a bright flame, right? And there was no ventilation going on in the house. You know, it was spring. You know,
right.
They didn't have anything turned on. And the flame was high. And then they said I started staring at the candle. And they just said I started mumbling something in tongues. And the flame went down to barely a flicker. It just about went out.
Paul, you're lucky you got yourself back.
Yeah. Well, there's a way I did get myself back. But what's another scary part of it was we were sitting there while this was happening. My friend's brother, his mother, is a Native American, okay?
Uh-huh.
And she said, and she called us. The phone rang. She called, and she was worried about her son because she said she woke up in a cold sweat. okay? And he said he was trying to call out to her, and then I guess it worked because she called us. You know, she had no idea that we were doing this sort of thing. And then my friend did something to close it, you know, and then everything stopped. But a couple of days later, I started seeing stuff, George. I had a nightmare every night
Is this still happening to you?
It's not still happening. I'd have a nightmare every night for 3 months. I'd have a regular dream, you know, just be like a regular happy dream. But I'd see this old woman, and as soon as I'd see her, I'd wake up, and I'd have the feeling that I have a nightmare. And then I'd see about 4 shadow people in my house, in my bedroom.
What do you mean the old woman? What'd she look like? Like a hag?
She didn't look like a hag. She just looked like a little old lady, you know, not
in an innocent little old lady.
Yeah, but she had like a, you know, kind of a mad look on her face, and she was looking at me. Okay, and as soon as she'd make eye contact with me, I'd wake up. I'd see about 4 shadow people in my room. Okay.
Man, you got clobbered with everything.
Yeah, George, I mean, I'm a long-time listener. I mean, I don't mess around. I believe in this stuff, you know, and I swear every word of this is true.
I believe you.
Okay, and then, I mean, this would happen, like, for 3 months straight, and, like, I'd walk down the street, and you know, I remember it wasn't too long ago. You were talking about somewhat like shadow people, but somewhat like animals going across the road.
Shadow rodents,
I'd see them. I'd see them come out of bushes, run across the street, across, you know, into the neighbor's yard.
Tens by the tens. They were everywhere.
They were everywhere. But the worst part about all this was, George, is that I had the most depressed feeling. You know, I felt sad. I felt weak. You know, I was in the worst state of mind. That was the worst thing of it all.
What snapped you out of all this, though?
Okay, I talked to a friend, and she referred me to somebody. This woman saved my life, George. She called herself a clairvoyant, okay? And she said she could find what it was that was hurting me and what was attached to me and try to set it free or try to send it to where it needs to go. And then she sat me down, just had me close my eyes, and she just put her arms on my shoulders. And then all of a sudden, it felt like everything was lifted. Like, I didn't see any more shadows. I didn't see anything else.
Did she ever tell you what kind of a demon or whatever it might have been that attached itself to you?
Yes, she did, George. She said it wasn't a demon and it wasn't a bad spirit. It was a confused spirit that was like, she said, the way that she described it was that it was in a state of chaos because it didn't know where it was.
See, I got to tell you, Paul, you were very, very lucky that's what it was, because it could have been even far worse than you can imagine. Let's take another quick call here before the break. We'll go to you, Jake, in Oklahoma, I believe. Hey, Jake. Hello.
Hey,
George. Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
Hey, thanks. First-time caller here. I have a couple things to ask you.
Sure.
Well, first of all, I guess, what do you think about the FISA amendment that passed on the 9th, which basically destroys the Fourth Amendment in our Constitution? I don't know how much you've heard about it.
No, tell me a little bit more.
Basically, it is just a bill that basically extends the abilities of the government and telecommunication companies.
Oh, you mean part of the surveillance bill that they signed?
Yeah. And basically, it's just, I really honestly believe this is, if not the first or part of many bad things to come.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think it's an infringement on our privacy. And yeah, they say that they needed it to find terrorists, but the point is they're still looking at us. And I don't like that at all. Break time. Well, are you a member of Streamlink? If you're not, you might want to go get up to the coasttocoastam.com website and read all about it. Podcasting, downloads. Kind of fun, actually. Back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, another superb guest list for you next week. I'll tell you about that in about an hour or so. Let's go back to the phones. Open Lines, Wildcard Line, Dave in Texas. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, George. It's nice to talk to you, sir.
Good, thank you.
Hey, I've got a story. I'll make it quick. It's mid to late 70s, and I had a buddy named Joe, and we lived in the neighborhood in Yakima, Washington. And a few years after we'd known each other, he had to move out of town a little ways, the little remote part of the county there. Anyway, I went to visit him one day, and he goes, "I want you to come with me down the street. There's a lady here whose husband filmed Bigfoot." And I was a little kid. I was 9, 10 years old. I didn't even know what Bigfoot was. So we went down the street from his mobile home and walked down the street, knocked on this lady's door. Well, to fast forward, it's Mrs. Patterson. Anyway, we had milk and cookies at her house, and I thought nothing of it for years and just thought, well, yeah, Bigfoot. And I know he started going to used bookstores and half-price, you know, bookstores and getting books on Bigfoot now and UFOs, and I just kind of thought he was crazy. Well, didn't see Joe for a couple of years and moved to Selah, Washington, which is just on the other side of the hills, generally the same area, and started skiing at a resort smack dab in the middle between Seattle and Yakima. I don't really want to get out loud because it's going to lead to Bigfoot, and what I don't want to happen is a million people going up there and looking for the poor thing if that is indeed what's up there.
Yeah.
But it's 1981, so we fast forwarded a few years. Me and my buddy, we were the first ones on the lift and the last ones to get off, so we made it pretty much a practice, you know, last lift of the day, guys, you know, take our beers up there to the top, sneak them up, wait on the mountain, on the top of the mountain, for everybody to ski down, and then right as sunset was happening, we would finally ski down before it got dark. We'd be the first ones on the mountain, the last ones off.
Yeah.
Well, one night we're sitting up there, man, and we hear what later became that scream that y'all played that's supposed to be Bigfoot. And we heard that scream coming from the Yakima side of the entrance to the ski resort. And we were pretty ballsy little kids. We weren't scared of a whole lot of things. And I remember we were sitting there waiting to go down, and I remember my friend Stacy saying, you know, what is that? And what I jumped to the conclusion that it was just a mountain cat, because, you know, when you hear domestic cats, they make a shrieking, you know, kind of a disturbing noise just when you hear, you know, domestic neighborhood cats.
Yeah.
And it kept getting closer and closer, and finally I was the one who said, you know, that's probably a cat, and we're probably not in danger, but it almost seemed like it knew we were there because we were kind of in a clearing, and it just kept getting closer and closer and doing that scream. Anyway, we finally decided it was in our best interest to get off the mountain. And, of course, again, I didn't think anything of it till, let's fast forward ahead now 20 years, till I heard that program. And I heard y'all play that tape, and I got on the phone with my friend Stacy. I didn't keep in touch with Joe, who was the first guy who took me to Mrs. Patterson's house. But I kept in touch with Stacy, and I called him up, and I said, man, listen to what they're playing tonight. Tell me what that is. And we're on the phone. You guys played it again that night. This was a year or so back. He goes, that's that noise we heard on the mountain that night. And I'm saying, wow. You know, this guy's claiming that it's Bigfoot. And I remember him, you know, kind of laughing and saying, you know, I wouldn't be all surprised because the Yakima Indians and the Toppenish Indians and all those Indians up there talk about it in their folklore like it's just another animal. So I don't know what I heard, and I don't know if what y'all have is Bigfoot, but I heard that, you know, late one night on a Friday or Saturday night, and I just thought you might find this story interesting. The
I
fact
love
that it,
did,
you know, meet halfway, you know, going to her house in the late 70s and then actually hearing the damn thing.
That's great. Had you stayed on the mountain, do you think you might have seen this creature or whatever it was?
There's no way I can answer that, George. And like I say, at that point, the Bigfoot didn't even cross my mind. I just know that it sounded horrible. And you know, obviously you've heard the tape. It's
oh yeah,
disturbing sound. And the fact that it was getting closer and it was getting closer fast. You know, like I say, I didn't see anything. I can't tell you if that was Bigfoot or not, but if it was, you know, I guess I have the honor of saying I heard it, but. I don't deny it's not up there. You know, that was right after Mount St. Helens, and I got to thinking that, you know, Mount St. Helens blew in May of 80, and this was right after that. And I got to thinking, you know, maybe the poor thing just had to come down, you know, farther, you know, into the valley, into the populated areas, because, you know, some of those mountains up on top had been, you know, the trees had been laid waste, and a lot of the foliage had been, you know, wasted up in that area, so maybe it drove it down, because it was right after that we heard him up there. But no, I can't say I saw anything, but we sure heard whatever you all played on that program that night.
It is eerie, and I got to tell you, too, because if these creatures are as sensitive as everybody has said they are, it probably knew that the Mount St. Helens was going to pop, and, you know, it was leaving. It was leaving the area. Let's go to the I Can't Believe It hotline, Don in Michigan. Hey, Don.
Hi, George. Yeah, this is Don calling from Rochester Hills, Michigan.
Sure.
Just a quick story about when my father passed a couple years ago. It's not so much something I saw, but just kind of a weird couple synchronicities, again, that happened. I was up up early that morning, as I often am, like right now, and I was watching the movie Live and Let Die, the James Bond movie.
I love that movie, and we just played that, yeah.
You just played the drop music, which put this all together in my head, because as I'm watching the movie, I get the phone call from the hospital, Crittenden Hospital over here in Rochester, just down the street, mm-hmm. and it was 2:22 a.m. when I got the phone call. That's my birthday, 2:22. And I had always kind of put that together as a message from my dad, but I hadn't really realized that it happened during the movie Live and Let Die, almost like a message like, you know, go on, son, go live, and, you know, you can let me die and cross that. On and go do my thing.
It was a message, yeah.
Oh, well, and then also just one other thing quick here, Rod.
Sure.
You're talking about the afterlife and how it kind of bothers you that you don't, you know, we don't really know if there's an afterlife, but you like to think that there's one.
We, you know, we have faith that we believe it. We think we believe it. We want to believe it, but we really don't know, do we?
I'm sorry, George. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Go ahead.
We won't know until we die, and that's kind of a good thing, because if we live our whole lives thinking there's an afterlife, which I do, I'm pretty convinced that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye. If you live your whole life believing that and it's not true, the only way we're ever going to find out is when we die. And if you die, you know, having that belief and it's not true, well, we're not going to, you won't know anyway. You'll be dead. So
here's an example. Let's say you go to sleep and you don't remember your dream. I happen to believe everybody dreams, but you just don't remember them all the time.
Okay.
So you go to sleep, you don't remember your dream, so you've got this void, this darkness, and then you wake up in the morning, right?
Right.
In theory, if you don't wake up and you don't remember your dream, I think that's what death is like if it's not on the other side. It's just done. It's over.
Boy, that's kind of the whole Ayn Rand thing that, you know, A is A, B is B, you're here, you're gone, and that's pretty much it. That just seems, in this miraculous quantum universe that we live in,
it's empty.
Just, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
no, it's empty.
Yeah.
And I hope it's not that.
I do, too. Thanks for taking my call, George. Have a good
day. Okay, my friend, you too. Let's move on next to Steve in New York. Hey, Steven, take it away.
What's up, George? Honor to talk to you.
Likewise.
You've been an amazing inspiration in my life.
Thank you.
I just wanted to relate a quick story to you. I used to work in a municipal building in Keysville, New York. And whenever I'd play your show, that place would go crazy. It was built back in the 1800s. I'd be up on the third floor, and the boiler doors down in the basement would be slamming shut. Odd noises everywhere. I mean, it was crazy.
One of those old haunted municipal buildings.
It used to be a high school. They built it in the 1800s. They decommissioned it and turned it into a civic building. I worked overnight as a boiler man, and when your show came on, that place came alive.
You know, I wonder how many ghosts listen to this program.
I imagine quite a few, at least when I was working there.
Thanks for the story. Appreciate it. When I'm in Los Angeles, I stand about 85% of the time when I do Coast to Coast. So during that entire program, I'm standing about 85% of the time. Now, the 15% of the time, I have a chair that is higher than normal because I kind of like my my broadcast desk to be very high. So, you know, maybe it's about 2 feet taller than the normal desk would be, okay? Just so you picture that. Here in the cave in St. Louis, I also have a higher desk and a higher chair. Well, I don't know if you folks heard this or not, but it broke about 40 minutes ago when I was talking to Nick Begich, and it went into shattered little pieces. So, and unfortunately, I can't stand and do the show in St. Louis because of this thing I have on the microphone. It just won't give me the height I need. So I am sitting 5 inches off the ground with my microphone by me, reaching up to answer these phone calls. Just so you know it, if I had my Digicam here, you'd be able to see this. Let's go to you, Marcella. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Thank you. Hi. When my mother was alive, she always used to say to me, honey, take care of your pennies because the dollars will take care of themselves. Well, my mom died in February of 1982, and that December, I was working for a tile company in Riverside, and they brought the Christmas tree up to start decorating.
Yeah.
And I had to keep the board open until 5 o'clock, so everybody else had started decorating and everything. And they put the big boxes of the decorations in this one room. And then you know how boxes of decorations will have little circles, and then the Christmas ball will fit in the circles in the package? Well, I went into the room, and I went over and I picked up one of the Christmas balls, and in the center of that little circle in the box was a penny. And that was the first one that I ever got after my mom died. And then after that, I have found many in different various ways, but that was the first one. So I just know it was from her.
She keeps sending you little messages, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
I love it. Thanks, Marcella.
Bye.
Let's go to our first-time caller line in Kentucky. Sherry. Hey, Sherry.
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I want to tell you about the ghost that lives in my dad's house.
The ghost in your dad's house.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's my mother.
It's your...
It's not real scary.
Okay,
all kind of weird things happened in my dad... Started happening in my dad's house about a year after my mom died.
Uh-huh.
TVs would go off without turning them on, you know, different weird things.
Mom's a little mischief maker, huh?
Yeah. And one time, well, it was the first time that he had to live without her on his birthday. His car alarm, when we were singing happy birthday to him, his car alarm went off. And it wasn't even set.
Did he realize, hey, this could be her?
Not until I told him.
What did he say when you told him that?
He said, oh, come on now.
He didn't believe you, did he?
He didn't believe me then, but I think he believed me after all the rest of the weird things kept going on.
She never stopped, or has she yet?
I don't know. He has since moved out of the house, so I don't know if she's there for the new people or not.
She could follow him. That happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But he hasn't said that.
No. Uh-huh. So, and another time, she came to visit me.
And was she friendly?
Yeah.
Okay.
She just came and sat down on the bed.
And how'd you know? I mean, did you see an indentation of somebody sitting there or what?
I felt her sit down.
Was that weird for you?
Yeah. I thought it was my son playing a joke on me.
Well, you would have seen him, right?
Yeah. Well, I would have seen him sneak into the room.
Yeah.
But how I knew it was her, what made me think it was my son playing a joke on me. When you close your eyes and you're still like in front of a light or a window and you pass your hand in front of your face, you can see your shadow.
You can see the print of your hand. That's
right.
True.
Right. Okay. Well, I was laying in front of a window and I saw a shadow pass. And then I felt something sit down on the bed. And I was trying to take a nap because I was working third shift that night. And I thought it was my son playing a joke on me. And when I told him to get out of the room, nobody answered.
It was good old mom.
And yeah, it was mom.
You miss her?
I miss her terribly. She's been dead for, let me see, my oldest daughter will be 14. She'll be dead for 12 years in December.
Well,
December
19th. you would still welcome little ghostly practical jokes from her.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. I love it. Thanks. Let's take, how much time do we have? We've got enough for you, Elaine in Florida. Hey, how are you? Elaine?
Hi. Yes, Elaine. This is Elaine. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida.
Hi.
Hi. I just wondered if any other callers or anything might want to call in or anything about the fact that I feel that I've had an internet communication with somebody that I was very close to after they passed away.
What do you mean? How? You mean somebody's been emailing you from the other side?
No, they didn't really email me. It was like, it was a romantic relationship that was kind of a bad relationship where it was on and off for like 3 years.
Okay.
And we'd get into fights and everything. We wouldn't talk for a couple of months or whatever. And the last time I talked to the person, it was around Christmas time, and then we had got upset with each other and didn't talk for like several months and everything. So,
now, are you saying this person was alive or was dead when you were doing this?
This person was alive.
All right, this person's alive, and you're doing an internet thing with this person. Is that what you're saying?
Well, this person was alive.
Hold on now. Okay, the person was alive. You had this tumultuous relationship with him.
Right.
Okay. All right.
And then, but within this tumultuous relationship, many times there might be weeks or months where we didn't talk to each other. And so the last time we talked, it was a couple of months or so, 2 or 3 months, and I thought, I just have this really bad feeling that something's just really wrong. And I sent an email, nobody answered and whatever, and I just got this really bad feeling. And so then it was like 3 months later or so, now all of a sudden I have AOL, where you have the buddy list.
Yeah.
That appears
yeah,
in there
yeah.
and shows the buddy list. And I saw the buddy name on there. I thought, okay, well, this person must be okay because the buddy list's on there. This person's on the internet, so they must be okay. But I just still have a really bad feeling about it. So then, about a month or so later, I found out this person passed away, and that they passed away like 6 months ago.
Jeez.
Yeah, and so like.
And does this communication continue?
And I thought, well, how could this? So I finally got in touch with this person's sister and everything, and she said, yeah, she had willed her car to her niece, and then her niece kept asking her why her buddy list name kept appearing on the internet after she knew she was passed on for like months ago. Just like her, it keeps appearing on there.
It just won't go away.
So then I just turned on my AOL, turned on my computer, and there it was again, only in different colors of the buddy list and everything that I've really been familiar with. There was her buddy name again.
Well, sounds like they're trying to tell you something, doesn't it? I can't believe this hour's already buzzed by. We'll be back with more on Coast to Coast AM.